The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 6, he addresses the children who are already in the congregation. They didn't have to stop the service and call the children from the Sunday school rooms to come up into the congregation because they were already there with them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'd like to bring a message to you entitled, The Negative and Positive Sides of Parenting. The Negative and Positive Sides of Parenting. Would you join me in prayer tonight? Our Father in heaven, we come to you asking you to open our eyes, warm our hearts with your word. May your word be ringing in our hearts, Lord. May it ring in our minds as we listen to it explained and taught tonight. I pray, give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech, that I might expound upon your word clearly. Father, I pray for the kids listening tonight that you would open their eyes as well. And may this be a turning point for many of them, Lord, to heed your word and obey their parents, and for the parents, Father, to not provoke their children to wrath. Lord, it has been our prayer that you would mold the young minds and young hearts to become godly men and women, to desire the things of God and desire godly things. It's been our prayer, Lord, even that they would choose godly spouses, and that when they have their own families, that they would choose to nurture and admonish and rear their children in a godly way, and then repeat the process all over again until you return or you take us home. Father, the children are the future of your church, and tonight we come to you asking you to empower us, to equip us, to enable us, Father, to equip them and train them in the godly way that we should. Father, tonight, all these things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What we read here tonight is part of Paul's discussion on the will of God for the church of Jesus Christ. It begins with a simple understanding that the will of God is clear to his readers. Look with me in verse 17 of Ephesians 5. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, you are unwise if you don't know or understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord for children is very specific. The will of the Lord for children is explicit in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, your job is to obey your parents. Children, your job is to obey your parents unquestionably. Children, your job is to obey your parents entirely. Children, your job is to obey them joyfully. Your job is to obey them with the understanding that what you're doing it unto the Lord. And if that isn't clear enough, if that isn't clearly the will of the Lord is for your children, the Apostle Paul says, this is right. You're wrong if you don't obey with the understanding that you were doing it for the Lord. Let me reiterate, children, it is your job to obey your parents right away, without delay, with a good attitude. Turn to Genesis 37 with me. The context of Genesis 37 is that of a boy by the name of Joseph. And Joseph was number 11 of the children of Jacob. It was a big family. Joseph's dad told him to do a job for him. And beginning in verse 12, this is the job that Jacob gave to Joseph. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, that is Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. The words of Joseph, here am I, is very much in alignment with what the Apostle Paul is telling the children. Children, obey your parents. Let me ask you a question, children. Listen now. Did Joseph obey his daddy without question? Yes. Did Joseph obey his parent right away entirely? Yes. Did Joseph, the boy, obey his father joyfully? Yes. The answer is yes. Joseph obeyed right away without delay and with a good attitude. And what a good example Joseph is to you and me. By the way, his 10 brothers didn't really like him very much. Why? Because Joseph had a coat of many colors made and given by his dad. They were jealous of Joseph. They were mad at him. By the way, his 10 brothers didn't really like him very much. Why? Because he claimed to have a dream from God that one day all of them, including the parents, will bow down to him. His brothers hated him. But when his dad asked him to do a job for him, Joseph obeyed right away, without delay, with a good attitude. Now let's go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 2 of our text elaborates on the job of the children, specifically on the basis of this will of the Lord for children. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Listen now, the basis on which this command is given is found in the original 10 commandments of God given to Moses for his people to follow. Honoring or respecting your father and mother, respecting your mom and dad, is the foundation on which obeying them should be done. Why do we obey our parents, children? Because it is honoring to mom and dad. That is the foundation upon which this commandment is given. By the way, there is a promise attached to this commandment. What is that? Verse 3. Look at verse 3. that it may be well with thee. That's the promise. If you obey your mom and dad, honor your father and mother, it's going to be good for you. That it may be well with thee. And get this. That thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I know what you're thinking, but hold that thought. Do you know what happens to those who obey their parents right away, without delay, with a good attitude? Children, do you know what happens to those who obey their parents right away, without delay, with a good attitude? What does the Bible say? That it may be well with you, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, let me ask you the reverse of that statement. Children, do you know what happens to those who don't obey their parents right away? With a lot of delay, with a bad attitude? They don't live long on the earth. I don't know if you got that. I don't know if you got that. But let me turn your attention to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. Do you want to know what happened to one rebellious child in the Old Testament? Read Deuteronomy 21. Verses 18 through 21. If a man, that is a father, have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I don't think any one of us would ever want anything like that to happen to any of our children. Do you? So pay attention. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the will of the Lord. And you are not wise. There's a stronger word for that. I won't use it here because it's a church setting. You are not wise if you choose not to understand that. Okay. We're done for right now with the children. Now we go to the parents. Okay. As it is explicit, as God's will is explicit for the children, it is also explicit. God's will is also explicit for the parents. Look at our text, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I imagine the mothers are now elbowing their husbands. But ladies, you're not off the hook that easy. Why? Because the words ye fathers come from the Greek words hoi parete pateres, which can very well be translated, all you all parents. Right? All you all parents. Regardless whether you're the male or female parent. Now, it is true that the Father is the ordained man of God to be the spiritual leader of the family, and that's why it's specified here in the King James translation, ye fathers. But it is a corollary truth, it is an axiomatic truth that the mother must be the second emotion voice of the family. When the husband says this, the mother says, I second the motion. Those who say yay may live longer. Those may oppose, they don't live quite that long. So mothers, you're not off the hook. The Shema was given to parents, not just the fathers. Deuteronomy 6, 4 says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The words of God, the admonition of the Lord must be with the parents, and the parents giving it out constantly to their children. Constantly, unceasingly, everywhere they go, whatever they do, the words of God, the reminders of it must be with them. And it is the responsibility of the parents to dispense it. That is the job of both parents. Now, there are two exhortations in Ephesians 6, 4 that we're going to focus here. One negative and one positive. One don't and one do that we find here in Ephesians 6, 4. The don't part, number one, the don't part, it is this. Look at with me our text. And ye fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. In Colossians, we're given a further definition of this verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Anger is prevalent in our society today. Anger is prevalent in our land today. Anger is a state of indignation and outrage, often resulting from distress caused by injustice or insult. That is, the outrage caused by perceived or real injustice or insult. Anger, you've felt it many, many times before. If you're honest tonight, you've felt it. It was a strong feeling or a strong emotion of a burning displeasure or annoyance. A strong reaction to that which a person perceives to be unjust, unfair, or insulting. We don't need to go far in our society to find an example of what anger looks like or what the results of anger are. Have you ever driven in the streets of downtown L.A.? And some of you are probably saying, have you ever driven in Yucca Valley and 29 Palms? The anger that is being displayed on the streets from road rage, the anger that's being displayed in grocery stores, the anger that's being displayed in the line at Starbucks, the anger that's being displayed in fast food restaurants, Plenty, plenty, plenty. If you go to Genesis chapter 4, we read of the results of anger. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know this story. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why? Because Abel obeyed the instruction explicitly given by his parents how to worship God. In verse number 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. God had not respect to the offering of Cain. Why? Because he did not follow what his parents taught him. And Cain was very angry. Cain was wrathful. The Bible tells us he was very wroth. What is that? It's a hot, burning displeasure. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If you just obeyed your parents right away, without delay, with a good attitude, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And look at the result of Cain's anger. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Why is the first advice of the Apostle Paul to parents, don't provoke your children to anger? This is why. Because anger leads to hatred, and hatred can lead to murder. How many news headlines have we seen where children are murdering their own parents and even their own siblings because of uncontrolled anger? One too many. That's why the Holy Spirit chose to tell this to you fathers and to you mothers. The Bible is replete with warnings and admonition on anger or wrath. Proverbs 15 alone records two verses for us. Verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A gentle response turns away anger, but grievous words stir up anger. Harsh words stir up wrath. In verse 18 of the same chapter, Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. That's a quick-tempered person stirs up dissension. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. But the one who is slow to anger calms a quarrel. How are children provoked to wrath? I think that is a very appropriate question when we look at this text, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Well, how are they provoked to wrath? Let me give you four ideas here, or four clues to the answer to that question. And there are many, many ways that fathers and mothers can provoke their children. But let's just look at four here tonight. Number one, children are provoked to wrath when their parents are hypocrites, inconsistent, double standard, or when their parents say, do as I say, don't do what I do. That provokes children to wrath. Let me give you a personal illustration here. I remember years ago, my chemistry teacher in high school in the Philippines, and she was a very well-respected teacher because she was very influential, and she held a great position there at our high school of about 2,500 kids. But I would see her, we would see her during break time, and she would just be huffing and puffing smoke from a cigarette that she wielded. And we were there, we'd talk with her, and she would always say, "Don't do what I do, but follow what I say. Don't smoke." Now, she was my teacher, but we didn't see eye to eye because of that. Children are provoked to anger when their parents are hypocrites, inconsistent, and when they have a double standard, one for the children and one for the parents. Secondly, what provokes children to wrath? Children are provoked to anger when their parents ignore their biblical roles and responsibilities of a husband and wife. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The children are provoked to wrath when their parents ignore the biblical roles of husband and wife. Beginning in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Children know that husbands are supposed to love their wives, and they are to do it sacrificially. That is, with the same care they give their own bodies, because their wives are supposed to be one with them, one with theirs. Children know that wives are supposed to respect their husbands. Verse 33 of that same chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Don't underestimate your children. They know when mommy does not respect daddy. And they know when daddy does not love mommy as he should. Don't underestimate their knowledge of that. They know more than you think they know. And it angers them when the mom and dad don't do their biblical roles and responsibilities. Number three, children become resentful against parents when they promise to do something and not keep their word. How many children are discouraged because dad said this and mom said that and they didn't keep their word? Parents, you are provoking your children when you promise to do something and not keep your word. Oh, you know what, Brother Christian, I admit to that. I've done that many, many times. Good. Confess it to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Confess it to your children and ask their forgiveness. And tell them that from now on, I will do as Pastor James said, let your yea be yea and nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Tell them that you did wrong and ask for their forgiveness and pray to God to help you to fulfill your promises. Number four, children become embittered when parents value their career life or social life more than their home life. Children become embittered when parents value their physical life more than their spiritual life. May I say this? Parents, the physical life that we can see is not the ultimate reality. Spiritual life is ultimate. When you neglect the spiritual welfare of your children, you have missed the real meaning of what it is to be a biblical parent. Are you concerned at all that your sons or daughters will end up in hell because their spiritual welfare is nothing to you? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul in hell? So this brings us right up to the positive side of the exhortation. That is the do part of parenting. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but," here's the positive side, "bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." What is the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Nurture of the Lord goes hand in hand with the admonition of the Lord. The nurture is the loving and corrective training that leads to maturity and responsibility. Nurture is the loving and corrective training that leads to maturity and responsibility. We have another popular term for it. It's called discipline. Well, maybe it's not so popular anymore, is it? But this is what it is. Discipline. Discipline. And then admonition. Nurture is that loving discipline. Admonition is that loving attempt to instruct the child with the words of the Lord. Admonition is the loving attempt to instruct the child with the words of the Lord. That is the positive side of parenting. The do part, it is this: bring them up in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. I'm going to give you two illustrations of this. One is bad discipline and instruction, and the other is biblical way of instruction and discipline. I'm not going to go very far for this illustration. I think it's safe to give my personal illustration. Years ago, in the Philippines, my father was in the army, and he was out deployed in some place there in the jungles of Mindanao. My mother was a nurse midwife, and she worked a regular job from 8 to 5. And so they had asked one of my aunts to babysit us. One day, I came home from school and went straight outside, playing outside with my friends and neighbors. Because that's what young boys do. Once you get home from school, mommy's gone, daddy's gone, babysitter's there, drop my bag of schoolwork, and then jotted right out of there and played with my friends and neighbors. And after the games are done, my stomach is giving me an alarm because I'm hungry and supper time is here. And so I went home. And lo and behold, who was at the gate? The babysitter, my aunt, waiting for me. "Did you do your chores?" no, Auntie, I forgot. I didn't forget. I intentionally forgot. You shouldn't be going out there playing outside before you water the plants and flowers and sweep the front yard. You knew that, didn't you? Yes, yes, yes. I knew that. I knew that. And I said, one of the greatest mistakes in my life. You just go ahead and spank me, Elsie. Boy, I tell you, that was a big mistake. She picked up whatever was near her and started hitting me with it. I have no idea what it is now. I don't remember. I choose not to remember anything like that happening in my life, right? I don't know, what a garden hose, her wooden sandal, I don't know, a machete, I don't know what it was. And she just whacked and whacked and whacked and kapow me. Now, that's a bad example of discipline. She had every right to discipline me, but that was not good. It will get you in county jail if you did that. That's a bad example of nurture. That's a bad example of discipline. Illustration number two. It is this. The Navy got this right. The Navy got this right. That's right. The Navy got this right. The Navy captures this biblical essence and sense of what training should be. And what did the Navy do to me? I was 17 years old, sent out to Great Mistakes, Illinois, Great Lakes, Illinois, boot camp. And this is one of the first things I noticed about the greatest organization in the world, the United States Navy. Right? They said, training goes like this. Tell me. We will tell you. We will instruct you. And then we will show you. We will show you with our own hands how this is done. And then we're going to allow you to perform it in front of our guidance. And when necessary, we'll use pain to motivate you. Tell you, show you, allow you to do it in front of our guidance and apply pain when necessary. That's what the Navy did. I don't know what they do now, but that's what they did back then, 20 years ago in my life. They got it right. How to fight fire with an extinguisher. Remember that, Brother Crowder? P-A-S-S. You pull the pin, you aim at the fire, you squeeze it, and then you sweep. P-A-S-S. They instructed me that. They showed me how to do that. They allowed me to perform it in front of them and applied pain when necessary for correction. I remember in boot camp, in a classroom for the tell me portion of the training. And I was so tired that day because I did fire watch the night before. And they gave me the worst time of day to do fire watch, which was 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. When you went to bed at 10 p.m., you got up at 1:30 to get ready to do the watch. Right, you do the watch from 2 in the morning to 4 in the morning, and then you went back. You woke up the relief for you, because the second shift starts from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. And so you got to go to bed at 4 a.m., back to bed at 4 a.m., and then you got up again at 5 a.m. It was the worst watch ever. And we're in this classroom. They probably turned up the heat too. And so I fell asleep. I fell asleep just like this. 30 seconds. And I felt this. Whack! I about shot up from my seat. I almost got up and shouted, I don't know, something. And I saw this big black thing on the floor, and it was the raincoat that was rolled up, and it was tossed at me and hit my back, and it stung a little bit. Use pain when necessary, right? That's what they did. The Navy got it right. That's a good example of discipline. They told us. They showed us. They allowed us to perform it in front of them with their guidance and supervision. And then they applied pain when necessary. What does the Bible say? Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If there are three words that you will remember tonight, it is these. The words from Pastor Wiersbe: truth, love, discipline. Truth, tell them. Show it to them. With love. And apply pain when necessary. Truth, love, and discipline. The negative and positive sides of parenting. Fathers, provoke not. That's the don't. That's the negative part. That's the don't part. Don't provoke your children to wrath. The positive side, the do part. Do bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word, for the exhortation to all of us, children, parents, all of us, Lord. May this truth ring in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.